Pod Culture, episode 443, Cummerbund Butt Munch, part B. This episode of Pod Culture is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 100,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/podculture.
Hey, this is Miracle Lori, Melly from Dollhouse, and you're listening to Pod Culture.
I'm Brad.
I'm Glenn.
And I'm Christina.
And I'm Adam.
Welcome to Pod Culture.
Welcome.
The multi-part Pod Culture. Because you found another part.
Another exciting chapter of the serialized adventures of the Pod Culture crew.
Yeah, but don't worry.
Do I give me a stunt double?
If you missed a previous one, don't worry, because there's not a lot of to-be-continued content.
And we... We tend to repeat ourselves quite a bit, so you're not going to miss anything.
And we repeat ourselves a lot, too.
Uh-huh.
So
and we repeat ourselves?
Yes.
Totally.
Awesome.
Several times, over and over.
Yeah. Rock on.
Don't worry. The previous episodes are available. Just head back to the website, www.podculture.net.
And don't get lost in the awesomeness.
So, I'm Brad.
I'm Glenn.
And I'm Christina.
And I'm Adam.
And we're on with the rest of the show. Alrighty, we are back, and it's a special Glenn segment. No, not a guilty pleasure.
No.
But you read a book?
I read a book.
A motherfucking book.
Motherfucking book.
Hi, Andy.
We actually had some feedback from listeners lately saying, why don't you cover more books?
And we have. Haven't you been reading Darkness Unbound?
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Haven't you read that, Brad?
I used to listen to a lot of audiobooks, and now I've been
I need to read that.
To the radio.
Yeah, you need to read that.
You need to buy it.
So I read a book. There's this author, William Massa, M-A-S-S-A, and I had seen a lot of his books on Amazon, and they always look like interesting topics. I mean, like a knight who's cursed to be a gargoyle at night, a human during the day, or something like that.
Lady
or,
Hawk.
You know, like Lady Hawk or something. Or he's got one, Fear the Light, and it's about a bunch of vampires getting together. They had all been sired by Dracula, and Dracula's been murdered, and they're trying to figure out who killed Dracula, you know? And, so these are some interesting topics. So I hadn't read any of his stuff, though, and he's got a new series coming out called Occult Assassin.
Okay.
And my book's an occult horror book,
mm-hmm.
so I'm kind of into the occult stuff now, and I kind of wanted to see what he was doing with this, and he released a novella called Ice God.
Ooh.
And it actually takes place after book one and two, but book one and two aren't out yet. At first that seemed a little odd, but then after I read it, I realized, well, this way you get to just jump into the action and get a feel for what the series is going to be like once mm-hmm. it's rolling, and you're
okay.
Yeah, you get hooked, and then you want to know more about his origin that's going to happen in the first
right.
book and stuff like that, you know. And it was pretty neat. It's like I said, it's a novella, it reminded me a lot of the men's adventure novels that I used to read in the 80s and stuff, mm-hmm. like a Mac Bolan or a Destroyer mm-hmm. Or even kind of a James Bond type thing.
Nice.
The character's ex-military, but then something happened to him, and now he's hunting down people that are using... It's not like supernatural creatures and things. It's not like the TV show Supernatural or something. It's people that are dabbling in dark powers.
Okay.
And with, ancient relics or whatever. People, they're humans, but they're... tapping into things.
A little bit of Warehouse 13?
Yeah, maybe a little. maybe a little more of a...
Friday the 13th, the series?
Yeah, or even a Lovecraft kind of thing, where there are dark, evil, ancient things, and these people are interacting with them, making pacts and things, and trying to, you know, get their own power and stuff. So, you know, I mean, I don't think you're not going to run across like a gargoyle in this, you know, it's not supernatural creatures so much.
Right. Just stuff.
Yeah. Just stuff. So the lead character was pretty interesting. And like I said, I do want to find out more about, you know, where he came from, what motivated him to get involved with this. And he has a rich benefactor who's helping him, who kind of gives him... I mean, this guy is... The series is called Occult Assassin. So he's an assassin working for this rich guy who sends him on these missions to go stop these evil things from happening.
Ooh, it's like the Deadpool on Teen Wolf.
Yeah, yeah, kind of like that.
Wow.
And the villain in the first book is pretty interesting. The book's called Ice God, and... In the book, it's a band named Ice God, and the lead singer is an albino, so he's all white, and he's into all this kind of...
He's like Tay-Tak Tar?
Yeah, he's like Tay-Tak, and I don't know, he just made for a really interesting, unique
That's
character
cool.
that I was like, wow, I like this villain. He's different, you know, he's something kind of unique, And, of course, he's doing horrible things to try to bring this ancient ice god back to life.
Wow.
And destroy a town or whatever.
Cool.
You know, so it was pretty intriguing. It had a good flow, you know, good action stuff with some cool mystical stuff in it. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of got your military spy kind of fix with lots of action. And you had exotic locations. And then you had a cool villain.
Yeah.
And... I don't know. I'm eagerly awaiting the release of the first book of the series. So,
very good.
Awesome, awesome. Adam, you've been reading anything, bud?
Well, on vacation, and this is a book I've had in my possession for a while.
Darkness Unbound.
Crystal is letting me borrow. Not yet. I'm slow at getting through books. Mm. Just finding time to read and actually sitting down. And
my book's really short.
Yes. I will get to it. Promise.
You won't be sorry.
I know. Oh, yes.
I want to read it because there's a nun on the cover.
Cool.
That's
swing the mic over
too.
To her.
I want to read it because there's a nun on the cover.
A demonically possessed nun.
Yes. An awesome kick-ass nun.
I use that as a segue to talk about my trip and all that stuff. So,
nice.
Yeah. but the book that I've been reading is a far departure from demonic nuns. A far departure.
Okay. I was wanting to make sure I heard it right.
What did you think you heard?
Far departure.
Oh my god.
That would be
okay.
An Enterprise episode.
I guess so.
Ate too much cheese.
Like, yes.
Far departure.
Arrow episode.
Oh, this is
that reminds me of the best meme I saw, because this, I swear to God, this is
if you
tangent, yeah.
Tangent alert. Yeah. Tangent alert. Danger. Right. Danger.
If you follow Stephen Amell
on Facebook.
He does some great stuff, like Fan Art Fridays and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But he posts, you know, those meme crap that everybody generates. He posts a lot of shit. But there's one, and it's from a scene from the upcoming episode of Doctor Who where an arrow gets shot in the TARDIS.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, Robin, you know, the doctor's out there. And he goes, Robin Hood, that's made up. And then the last picture is of Arrow. Like what the heck?
That's cute.
Anyway.
Okay.
Anyway.
So you're learning to read.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. I've been reading a book called I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell. And it is...
Yeah, as long as it's lambic.
It's... Oh, that'd be nice. It is hilarious.
Which wouldn't be hell?
Because it is a compilation of, quote, true, unquote, stories by this guy named Tucker Max,
okay.
who... is is a very bright guy, and he's an attorney, and he's working for this, like, interning or something for this firm, and makes good grades, but he's just bored at school. And he goes out and gets into, it goes to all these parties, just drunken debauchery, like up the wazoo. Like these kinds of stories, they pale in comparison, or I'm sorry, hangover adventures pale in comparison to this guy's adventures. And it's just a bunch of excerpts from just different points of his life and different nights and weekends and trips and the way that he words things and explains things is priceless. And he's come up to protect his friends. He's come up with nicknames for them.
True.
And so, yeah, they're
okay.
It's a memoir, and it's
this guy's originally from Lexington.
Oh wow!
And I think he went to may have gone to UK undergrad, but he went to Duke Law School.
Oh my god!
Like, oh, that's a hell of a combination.
Like, he's a super
UK and Duke.
UK is a good school, but then he went to Duke Law School.
I'm talking about the big rivalry, UK and Duke.
Oh yeah, true.
Well, you should know about that.
I know, as a UK fan and graduate,
balls.
The ball in the hole.
Yeah.
That thing, that game.
That thing.
Sports ball.
Get the sports ball from one thing to the other thing.
Yeah.
Make it bounce as you go down to the thing.
Get the sports
ball. And we're back to bouncing balls.
Bouncing balls.
It always comes back to bouncing balls.
But I have also read this book as I.
You already have your episode title.
Oh, okay.
And he is the worst person ever, Tucker Max is. Like, literally the worst person ever. Fast forward to present day, though, he wrote an article about a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. He was getting married, and he met this woman that apparently changed his life and has made him, like, an amazing person. Aww. And he's like, I'm so grateful to her, and, you know, I had my fun, but, you know, like, she's...
He's settling down.
Yeah, he's totally settling down. So he's turned into a good person.
That's nice.
What's that?
No sequels for him.
Well, he actually does have a sequel called Assholes Finish First, and it's kind of another collection of stories. But, yeah, so he's got – I will throw it back to Adam. He's got names for his friends. There we go.
Oh, that's all right. I'd forgotten about the sequel. Yeah. It's just the life this guy has led, and the fact that he did so well – in his field and did so well with grades and stuff is a wonder.
He was just like a drunk mess and drunk sex.
Let's not let my
sounds like Dragon
back
Con.
And forth. Yeah, and he never goes to school, and he goes, like, you know, I guess he's rich. I don't know.
And
he's like
the
flying
guy
all over the place.
Defending you?
No,
okay.
No, and I think he's like a corporate lawyer or something. Okay. But he tell him about the motherfucking syrup nugget.
Oh, hold on. I've got to find that quote. I've got to find that quote. Hold on.
So as he finds the quote, yeah, he's got three friends, I guess, that appear in these stories a lot. And he, you know, to protect the innocent or whatever, he calls them different things. One of them he calls Sling Blade, because he says the guy talks just like... Sling Blade has like the same cadence, and you know,
Some folks call it a Kaiser Blade.
Yeah, and Sling Blade is the one that goes on this like long monologue about the motherfucking syrup nugget. And what he's referring to is something from McDonald's, and it's amazing. This quote.
So he's talking to his buddy Sling Blade and doesn't know what a McGriddle is.
Oh, those are beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And
those are beautiful.
And Sling Blade describes it as such. He says, "I can only assume from your cavalier attitude that you have yet to partake in the wonderment that is the McGriddle. Let me enlighten you. What happens is the one true God grows them on trees in the Elysian fields using a heretofore unused incantation. He then proceeds to magic them down to your local eatery.
I think Christina's going to pee herself.
Where whatever ghetto bastard cook your McDonald's has rescued from welfare that week proceeds to wrap into cellophane and pass it along to, and proceeds to wrap it in cellophane and pass it along to you, the fortunate consumer, excuse me. You proceed to ingest this finery in the vain hope that your obviously overmatched taste buds can somehow grasp the delectable intricacies that is intricacies it is suddenly faced with. Is that egg? Why, yes, it is. And bacon, too. But wait. They didn't add. Yes, they did. Yes, they did indeed. They added cheese. And then, my friends, they wrapped it in a sumptuous pancake bun. As your taste buds try to process that amazing piece of information, it hits them. The syrup nugget. The motherfucking syrup nugget. It announces itself with a burst of confectionery grandiosity, the likes of which your palate has never seen. And then Tucker says, so you like them? Slingblade says, if you ever speak ill of the McGriddle again, I will personally force feed you one while I fuck you in the butt using the wrapper as a condom and then donkey punch you with the infused syrup nuggets explode in your mouth.
And so is the book. This is kind of the whole tone of the
motherfucking
whole book.
Syrup nugget.
Motherfucking syrup nugget.
Oh my god, it's brilliant.
If anyone would like to borrow it, I will pass it along. It is a good, fun read.
That is fabulous.
Yeah.
Hey, Christina. Thank you.
Breathe, Christina.
A
no. Breathe.
I'm on MTM. Okay.
It sounds like a Kevin Smith movie.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. It does.
They serve them at Moobies.
Moobies.
Oh, Moobies. Yeah.
It's a McMovie muffin.
So yeah, that's the kind of the descriptions that you get, you know, from him and his buddy Slingblade.
Oh
and
my god.
He's got another buddy named Hate, and the hijinks they get into is hilarious. So
the fact that they grew on trees is what got me.
Yeah. magics them down to.
Oh, Christina, you been reading anything?
No, unfortunately, I've been listening to the radio a lot and listening to Google Play a lot. So I've listened to a lot of music, but I haven't done any audiobooks or reading lately. I need to. I have stuff. I have a whole stack of things I need to read, but I haven't.
I haven't read much here late, but I have read one thing. No, it is not.
It's not my book.
It will take you 20 minutes.
I know, but, I'm sorry.
Let's not make it 20 minutes.
I mean, he reads really fast.
Get your money's worth.
Yeah.
No, I'm a motherfucking speed reader, man.
Yeah, he reads really fast. Like, he could do it in
It is short, but 20 minutes.
I was all set to read it, and then I found something,
that's
and
what
it
she
got
said.
Pretty
I was getting ready to say.
I had to teach you to it.
Girl. Yeah. Doctor Who, Engines of War. And it's a hardcover novel featuring the War Doctor.
Oh, really?
Hey. Yeah.
All right.
Huh.
That's cool.
I guess there is a big span of unknown time there that we don't know what he kind of did.
Yeah. The Great Time Wars raged for centuries, ravaging the universe. Scores of human colony planets are now overrun by Dalek occupation forces. See, that's why you get him to read your book and not me.
Yeah.
Okay. A weary, angry doctor leads a flotilla of battle TARDISes against the Dalek stronghold.
Ooh, battle TARDI. Mm-hmm.
But in the midst of the carnage, the doctor's TARDIS crashes to a planet below. As the doctor is trapped in an apocalyptic landscape, Dalek patrols roam amongst the wreckage, rounding up the remaining civilians. But why haven't the Daleks simply killed the humans? Searching for the answers, the doctor meets Cinder, a young Dalek hunter. Their struggle,
because they need hands. They don't have hands. They need to keep some humans around to reach things off of shelves.
They can only plunge toilets.
Pretty much.
And whisk eggs.
Where do you get their milk? Their struggles to discover the Dalek plan take them from the ruins of Moldox to the halls of Gallifrey and set in motion a chain of events that will change everything and everyone.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Cool.
It is. Yeah, I like
it. Is it available in audiobook?
That is a good question.
I have more time to listen than I do to read.
I'm just seeing Kindle edition and hardcover right now.
Okay, because I think John Hurt should read it.
Yeah, I was thinking
that would be good.
Yeah.
Then, I'm just going to picture the dragon.
From Merlin.
Yeah. Rests on the ears of a young boy.
I miss that show. That was a good show.
But yeah, that's the only thing I read. Doctor Who, Engines of War. And it is actually pretty darn good because you get another glimpse of the War Doctor other than just the anniversary special.
Yeah, cool.
So. Awesome.
All righty. Any other books?
No.
All right. And we will be back with more of Pod Culture right after this. We are back with another adult beverage-themed geek cuisine.
This one smells gross.
Most of the alcohol we drink kind of smells gross.
Absinthe smells good.
No, it doesn't. It smells like ass.
Lambic smells good.
Oh, yeah, the cherry. Yeah, that cherry lambic's pretty good.
All cherry one and the so raspberry.
The raspberry. The
currant
was
in. All right.
I liked it.
The apple was good, too.
But, you know.
Apple?
Fireball is favored here in the Pod Culture Studio.
No.
Podcasting fluid?
Yep.
By you?
I said favorite. I didn't say by who or how many. I do have a bottle sitting right here, but
so do I.
In the interest of science, we have Cinerator cinnamon whiskey. Now
I need my brother and sister for this. Be late here.
Yeah, we got it over at the liquor store. They had a little one
used
of those
to be the baby borders, and now it's a liquor store.
Yeah.
Sadness.
They had a tub of those little mini airplane bottle type stuff.
I love them.
Yeah.
So we went digging through and found some stuff. But we saw this, and I'm like, oh, another cinnamon whiskey. We have to try it. Like, we tried the early times that we had a cinnamon whiskey that was kind of nasty. But this is Cinerator. And then I did not notice this, but Adam pointed it out. It's 91.1 proof.
You know what kind of whiskey I would drink?
Caramel.
Cinnabon whiskey.
Oh,
that could be
like, if whiskey. You want me to like a whiskey, make it Cinnabon whiskey.
I was thinking Amy Acker, but okay.
Cinnabon whiskey.
Not Cinnabite whiskey.
That would be that's a whole different thing.
Different.
Yeah.
Be. Although
very different.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Whole different taste entirely.
Yeah, it tastes like hell.
Yeah.
All right. So, Cinerator, cinnamon whiskey. Here we go.
Do it.
Do it for my brother.
For science. Ah! That was an interesting noise.
Brad's a big fan. I'm really looking forward to it now.
Oh.
My esophagus is burning.
Wow. Holy shit.
I don't like it.
Huh. That's powerful.
Yes,
my
it is.
My esophagus hurts. I don't like it.
Oh, it burns.
It's fucking cinnamon, dude. Yeah, but it's not the smooth of Fireball by any means.
No. I'm blowing smoke rings up my nose.
Somebody ran a cinnamon stick down your stomach and it came out your ass. My God.
It's the only time
that
it's...
hurts.
There we go. I'm soaking my Oreo that we may not have had in the whiskey here.
Pouring in the dregs on it.
Uh-huh. No, my taste buds are gone. I can't even... No, there it is.
They're gone.
Oh. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm cheating and adding some of my lemonade to it.
Cinnade?
I just need to dilute it somehow.
That's powerful.
Yeah, that is some power. I'm not that brave, Adam.
Wow. No, it really is good. Like, it adds a cool, like, a good flavor.
Okay, all right. That's better.
I do enjoy it. Oh. Yeah.
Alrighty.
Okay, like, mixed in cider.
Mm-hmm. It might not be bad.
Mm-hmm. If you're cooking something with apples with it, that would be great. But, or steeping soaking apples in it, that would be fine. But to drink it straight,
This has a much harsher alcohol taste to it than Fireball does.
It's a hell of a bite.
Yeah, and of course, Fireball's only 67 proof. This is half again as much. So yeah, I would imagine there would be...
Where's Christina asleep in the corner?
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the Adam and Christina show here.
Shut up.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That was epic. Whatever.
That was so funny.
The Adam and Christina show.
The villain Lord.
I still see you should have done the theme for him.
I was brave enough to tell him while he was holding my hand. Give me some credit.
Mr. Edward James Olmos.
He was holding my hand.
To ask her to sing on top of that, it's a bit much.
Yeah.
I think.
She was glowing.
He was holding my hand. How great was that? Shut up.
Are you sure it was him and not a Cylon?
I don't care.
I'll take a Cylon.
He's got a Cylon that he sends out to do the autographs.
It's okay. I don't mind. He tells great, like, his Cylon told great stories. I don't care.
Mm. Oh, the Miami Vice stories.
He's a brilliant storyteller. Yeah. I could just listen to him talk all day.
All right. So, Cinerator, cinnamon whiskey. Glenn, thumbs up, thumbs down.
You know, that's a little rough.
It's pretty rough.
Yeah.
To mix it with something, I would say sure.
That might be good with cider. I think it might be better as a mixture to cut down on some of the harshness.
Forget it.
Yeah, not a standalone.
Mm-mm. Eric would like this.
So, yeah, I'm kind of...
Because he likes the Fireball, and he wants to get drunk as quickly as possible. He would like this.
Oh, yeah, well, he likes pretty much anything alcoholic.
No, he won't. He won't drink anything fancy or that tastes good. He wants to drink something that's going to get him drunk quickly.
Well, this would do
it. Probably do it. 91 proof.
Alrighty. And I'm going to say thumbs meh.
Thumbs meh, yeah.
Yeah.
Thumbs run.
Hey, well, that may come after this processes.
Don't, please don't say that.
Oh, ouch.
And we'll be back with more of the show. And right after we get rid of this cinnamon stick.
Podcast equivalent to a 100-foot radioactive robot lizard, but with horn-rimmed glasses and a pocket protector. That's nerdy. We're on the rampage, laying waste to the geek landscape. We'll talk movies, TV, comics, toys, video games, and sometimes we talk turkey.
Don't you mean chicken?
That's right. So check us out at Megapodzilla.com.
We're also available on iTunes and the Zoom Marketplace.
Aw, yeah.
You know, if it weren't for really, really, really bad movies, you couldn't appreciate Michael Bay.
Fallacy.
Yeah.
What?
Or Uwe Boll.
Fallacy.
Uwe Boll. Oh.
Still sounds like
so,
his stomach.
Of course, yes. We're back with one of Glenn's guilty pleasures.
Oh, yeah. I actually tricked him into watching one again this week.
It was a
yikes.
All right, in the proud tradition of Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla.
Be proud.
Mothra versus
proud
Mecha
tradition.
Gothra. Mothra.
Mecha Streisand.
We have Christopher Judge.
Woohoo!
Elizabeth Rome.
Woohoo!
And Debbie Gibson.
For about 15 seconds.
It doesn't say Deborah Gibson. It says Debbie.
Oh, when she really got hoity-toity is Deborah Ann.
And she's second build, too.
Yeah.
Third build.
In Mega Shark versus Mecha Shark.
Oh, wow.
Monster versus Metal.
Dun, 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 dun.
The sequel to Mega Shark, which had Debbie Gibson, of course. This is
naturally.
This is from The Asylum.
And have 5 hours of previews before the feature.
Only one of them looked viable.
Yep.
The Home Alone with the dogs.
With the talking dogs.
Oh, dear Lord.
That was not the one.
That wasn't the one.
That was not the one. You're not the one.
That just went on and on and on. We were like, oh, we're going to watch this while we eat before the show.
Right.
And we were all done eating before the trailer.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That was painful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And then the movie started.
And then it got more painful.
No, yeah. I think it was actually the movie was less painful than some of the trailers.
It wasn't that.
Yeah.
Bad. Yeah.
Like Android Cop.
Oh, I kind of want to see that.
Well, no, because they canceled Almost Human, so I'm not watching anything called Android Cop.
This isn't like Almost Human, because like the cop's a black guy and the robot's a white guy. It's totally different.
It is totally different.
No, they don't.
That was almost human. Or being human, not almost human. Forgive us. We've had booze.
Yeah, like you have a little teacup.
Short and stout.
All right. The back of this is a beautiful thing.
Oh, it's on Blu-ray, no less.
Yeah, and I got it on Blu-ray.
I don't blame you.
You know, I had to see every detail.
Every detail.
Every wrinkle on Deborah's face.
God, love her.
She smiled through the whole thing. That was hilarious.
Which was awful because she's telling them like the worst news in the universe, and she's smiling.
He's gonna eat a lot of people. He's gonna be really, really mad.
I liked your idea that what her character should have been. Oh, that you were talking about that she should have played the whole same character.
Like, she's been in all these crappy movies, right?
Yeah.
And she's always, like, some scientific expert. So why not make her the scientific expert for all these crazy creatures?
Yeah.
Like, and everything she's in builds on her experience. Yeah. So in the next movie, she'll know about...
And that's things. How she knows right. so much and about... The Mega Shark.
And that would make a lot of sense because then
she knows about the behaviors.
Right.
And that would make sense.
That would make sense.
Why she would know about the behaviors.
And that would make her feel less excited to be in a movie because she knows she'll eventually be in another one.
Not that we're looking for much sense in a movie like this.
No.
Yeah.
No. Glenn?
The back of the box says, "The epic battle saga continues. On the scale of Transformers and Lord of the Rings."
What?
What? The only thing it had in common with Lord of the Rings is it mentioned New Zealand, I guess.
Yeah. On the scale of Lord of the Rings.
I don't know.
How?
Well, it's at the opposite end of the scale, but it's on the scale. There's crap.
And then Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I don't know how they can.
This isn't
that.
Worthy that, of
hard,
the bird
hard to see in the same sense.
On Sylvester McCoy in Lord of the Rings.
Oh, I love
little
it.
Guy bird poo.
I love it.
That's when Mega Shark returns, the government unleashes the top secret Mecha Shark to defeat the monster in a. In a pitched battle that threatens the planet?
I like how he gets questioning there.
It's tiny print.
In a pitched battle.
He's the youngest one of us.
That threatens the planet. Okay, that's a dumb sentence.
Yeah.
Sorry. That could be
it
much
fits.
Better worded. Yeah, and it really does say an epic, not that I didn't believe you, but an epic battle saga continues on the scale of Transformers and Lord of the Rings. There were two robots in this.
And both jumped the shark.
It should say, this is a movie, just like Transformers.
Just like Transformers.
It's like when they do the reviews from critics, and they do the dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
A few words, dot, dot, dot.
Taken out of context.
Yeah, it was awful. Yeah.
And had it not been for Chris Judge.
Jumping the shark.
And Elizabeth.
Literally jumping the shark.
Who played Kate and Angel.
On a dirt bike.
I love Chris Judge.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
I love Chris Judge from Stargate. And I love Elizabeth Rome from Angel. And she was recently in Beauty and the Beast as an FBI agent. I love her. She's great. So had it not been for those two, I think I would have been thoroughly disgusted with this whole thing. But I enjoyed watching them. And that was okay.
I have to say, as far as these things go, and I've seen a few.
A lot.
Meaning all of them.
Virtually. I don't know if you could see all of them and live.
He would try.
But I've come close.
I think you're like the
implode.
Keith Richards of bad movies. You've just had so many. You've built up immunity to everything.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. But I have to say, as far as these things go, the CGI effects
was actually pretty
bad. I mean, there were some questionable scenes, course.
No, there were some rear projection when they were driving.
But they didn't reuse a lot of the CGI like they did in some of the previous movies. They reused, some of the live footage shots, like the interior ship destruction scene.
Yeah, a couple of different ships.
It was same three guys getting buckets of water.
They're in the same corridor.
It doesn't matter if it's a ship or an
submarine
oil rig.
Or an oil rig or whatever.
And then a crowd scene when some of the crowds were running by, you see the same extra run by like three times.
In the same outfit.
Yeah. And it was this bright pink outfit, so you cannot miss
totally
it.
Running in a circle.
You know, if you only have a handful of people, just recostume them. Just tell them to bring their own sets of clothes and change your clothes and run around. How hard is that to bring your own stuff?
And then hand, No hand.
Yeah.
Hand?
Yeah. No hand.
There were
hand?
A lot of continuity no errors, and the red nail polish was getting on my last nerve. I can't tell you. I can't even tell you why.
The hooker nail polish?
I hate
it. Yeah, they're like, you're going to have to wear a flight suit. She's like, okay, but my nails will be fabulous.
I yep. know. I just don't understand. I'm not a fan of red nail polish to start with, but I just, like, why do they keep focusing on her hands? Like, I guess because it could have been anybody in those scenes, and nobody, as long as they had red nail polish, you knew it was her. It wasn't her hand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so.
Except in the next shot, the hand wasn't there.
It was bizarre. And there was a scene when he was on the motorcycle where he was clean shaven. His stunt double must have been clean shaven.
Oh.
But, aside from continuity errors, it wasn't that bad.
That was the best thing, as you pointed out, when he literally jumped the shark. He goes along in the shark.
He does the whole Fonzie.
Yeah. The motorcycle is going along, and it hits a ramp. Fonzie. And I'm figuring, okay, it's going to this little jump. And then he goes flying
way over. Like,
oh, yeah.
Eight like stories high.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I was like, whoa.
What? That just happened.
Yeah.
That was bad.
No.
Oh.
The negative or print or something had gotten flipped because the Yamaha logo was backwards.
Well,
maybe they couldn't get the rights to the Yamaha logo.
They couldn't get the rights to anything. It seemed like Dell, Audi.
Afford it.
Yeah.
Everything had tape
or something strategically placed over it.
But there was a fancy cover over the Audi logo on the car. And, you know what it is because you see the fucking rings, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's hilarious.
It was interesting.
And
how the big red emergency button was in this little plastic box that wasn't hooked up to anything.
Sitting next to the desk.
Anybody could have pressed the self-destruct button.
Oh.
It was interesting.
Yeah. Oh,
but I love Chris Judge and Elizabeth Brown, so it was worth it for that. But.
And I did enjoy the Mega Shark body slamming all of the
when it jumps off the
naval carriers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I mean, the naval 80s ships. Wrestler when they come off the top rope, elbow
body slam,
boom!
That was hilarious.
Yeah. He body slammed an aircraft carrier too,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And it went down
like the Titanic.
Yeah, yep. I was going to say Lindsay Lohan, but okay.
Oh, but yeah, don't go looking for high art in this one.
Even if you're a Debbie Gibson fan, she's only in it for like a minute and a half.
Oh yeah,
maybe.
Her screen time.
Don't necessarily run out because of her.
She was in one scene. Well, there was like one set.
Mm-hmm. The whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
She
one
did
set
share a scene with shot. Elizabeth Rome.
Though. Yeah,
right.
So she did interact with another character. It wasn't totally like.
But it was mostly she was on the phone most of the time.
It was like those episodes of Battle of the Planets, where they you never see Seven's Arc 7 and the rest of the G Force together except these really couple of crappy scenes. So they have the kids have no idea what the hell I'm talking about.
No, you don't know what you're missing. Let me tell you.
I guess not.
We're okay with that.
So, they did a good job of, bringing in some fan favorites of genre stuff. You liked seeing those actors again and stuff, and that was cool.
And they were a couple, which was even cuter.
And they had character names from some things. What was it? Like Commander Thrace or something?
Yeah,
like
Commander
that.
Thrace.
Oh, yeah.
And
Chris Shedd's
Captain
character.
Thrace,
Captain Thrace.
His character was named Jack, which I think was kind of cute. But... it was interesting.
And the computer that controlled the Mecha Shark. Mm-hmm.
Somebody
sounded,
did a damn good William Daniels.
Yeah, yeah. Sounded a lot like Kit from Knight Rider.
Nero.
Yeah, Nero. It
should have been Nemo.
Was the AI. Yeah, yeah Nemo. Yeah. That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, I was expecting it to be Nemo.
Maybe that's copyrighted somehow, too.
It's because they were fiddling around with the AI the whole time.
Someone would have had to put some thought into it.
Instead
of just being random, like most of the script.
Right.
But it was uncanny how much it sounded like Kit.
Yeah, he did a great job.
I mean, even the pacing of the words.
Yeah, that was one of the more enjoyable things about it.
Yeah.
And the giant robot shark looked okay. Its mouth didn't look very functional. But I was surprised that they put a little effort into the design of the Megalodon shark, that he was all like battle damaged, scarred up and stuff. Yeah. And I was when I first saw him, I was like, wow, they put a little effort into that model.
I know that would have cost more, but I wish we could have seen more of him.
Yeah. There was a fair amount, but
up until one point, and that's when the tank treads come out.
Amphibian mecha shark.
We were joking throughout the whole thing, you know, because it sounds just like William Dennis. We're talking about super pursuit mode, and there was some kind of mode that they talked about.
The drone mode
or something,
or whatever. Yeah,
and then the megalodon just knocks it onto land, and it's lying there, you know, flapping around
Sydney
like
a shadow water.
Yeah, crushing the Sydney Opera House.
And all of a sudden, tank treads come out of this thing, and then we have a land shark.
Yep.
And it's driving through the city.
It could have gone
eating stuff,
candy cream. Mm.
It was like a monster truck version of shark.
I want a Hot Wheels.
That was funny.
Yeah.
That I actually found that funny. But my favorite moment was the jumping the shark.
Yes.
I mean, that was just
that was
epic.
Bizarre.
That was straight up ripping off Happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that was deliberate.
Yeah, that had to be. Because for me, that was the highlight.
Yeah.
I don't know. The shot of this giant shark rolling through town on tank treads was pretty damn good.
Yeah.
I don't know. They almost recreated the airplane passenger liner scene from the first one where... Yeah. Mega shark jumps out of the water and
what are those two dots on the radar?
Grabs the airplane out of the sky, but somehow Mecha shark, even though it was following Mega shark through the air, managed to somehow knock Mega shark out of the line of the passenger jet,
and they fall two separate ways.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
And she's not wearing a seatbelt.
Hilarious.
But she's totally fine.
Yeah. Yeah. That did knock her out, though, but some explosion or bump from Mega Shark did.
She bumped her head on her
comfy leather chair.
That rolls.
It was a nice chair.
It was a nice chair.
Yeah. I want one.
Yeah. So, four thumbs up for the chair.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
As far as these things go,
it could be worse.
It had some production value. The CGI wasn't too terribly bad. There were
some
kind of neat,
moments.
Fun things. Yeah. If it was worse, it would have been funnier, which might have made it better. But
if it was worse, it would have been better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually,
it's a sliding scale.
What about the bell curve? It would have been better.
You know what it needed?
If it was better, it could have been better.
You know what it needed? Tiffany.
Tiffany, yeah, I was missing.
Maybe,
Tiffany.
Yeah.
Maybe for the third one, they can add in the
Mecha Gatoroid.
Yeah,
oh
or the Mega Piranhas or something.
Aren't they doing a Mega Shark versus Sharktopus or?
No, they're doing Sharktopus versus
Terracuda.
Terracuda, that's it.
Yeah.
My brain is bleeding,
and I'm looking forward to that as. Bad as Sharktopus was, I loved Sharktopus.
I like the design.
The design, the character is awesome. I mean, if it doesn't have Julia Roberts' brother in it, then it might be okay.
The master.
I love the master.
It might be okay. It might be salvageable.
I think Asylum's what keeps him, you know,
in money.
Yeah,
alive.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah,
I am.
Yeah, I might have to see it.
Yeah, just because Terracuda is
you
great.
You all do that.
Mm-hmm. I'll try to bring it.
Yeah,
don't worry.
I'll go watch.
You know, she got up and walked out on
Sharknado.
Sharknado 2.
Because every time I watch something like that on Sci-Fi, I'm reminded of all the things that I've lost.
Mm-hmm.
All the things that I've loved that have been canceled that did not cost that much to make and are now gone because of these movies.
You realize each one of these movies probably has the budget of one or two episodes of any of those series.
Yeah. It's like, what? Like, there are people out of work.
That's why they have Chris Judge in it.
But
you know, they cancel.
Have people, like, have a channel that's strictly for B-movies. Like, sci-fi, something else. You know, because they have, you know... Mm-hmm. you know, MTV and MTV2. We'll have sci-fi and sci-fi whatever.
It should just be sci-fi B.
Yes.
For B movies.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, or like, sci-fi Y, because why do we make this?
Why are we watching this? But yeah,
no, they don't.
It just makes me angry and sad for the things that I've lost.
Being human.
Mm-hmm.
Alphas.
Warehouse 13. Eureka.
Right.
Farscape. Stargate.
Coming back?
Farscape's coming back?
Okay, Stargate, that's fair, because that was on for 10 years.
Yeah, you
can. Stargate Atlantis and Stargate Universe.
Stargate Universe. I give you, because that ended on a cliffhanger, and I wanted to know what happened.
I did, too.
They should have just ended that one, though, the episode before. I think it had a great...
When they showed you the future, if they had stayed on that planet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if they had ended the series with that, I think that could have been a good way to just finalize it instead of leaving on a kind of a cliffhanger.
Everybody's in a coma.
But they didn't know if they would be able to come back or, you know.
They could write books or something. Whatever.
Yeah. They write books.
Yeah.
It's what fanfiction.net's for or something.
Oh, sure. My God. Thank God I haven't been on there forever, because I'll get sucked into a black hole.
So we all survived, and I think we all agree it could have been worse.
I've seen a hell of a lot worse for you.
That's about all you can ask,
vampire,
right?
Yeah, it could have worse.
Yeah.
Or counter destroyer.
Counter destroyer.
Oh God.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
It was bad. It was worse than Robo Vampire. So yeah,
or Mosaic.
Mega Shark. Oh, get on with the Mosaic. Again.
You bring up Robo Vampire every freaking episode. I'm allowed to bring up Mosaic.
It's part of the drinking game. Robo Vampire, Mosaic.
It's stupid.
Yeah, it was. It was a stupid Green Lantern series too.
I love Stan Lee. I do now, as a person, but no.
It was bad. It was pretty bad. Yeah. So Mega Shark versus Mecha Shark.
Mecha Shark, yeah.
I'll give it a versus Mecha Streisand. You get it. So yeah,
I would definitely watch that.
So 4 thumbs up from all the Pod Culture crew, and sure. You can find it on
Pinky.
Pinky up.
Pinky up.
All right, you can locate it via digital download, whatever.
Run.
Check it out.
Yeah, I got it on Blu-ray for $10 or less. Yeah, you know, so
that's kind of your threshold, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a decent price for a B movie.
The outtakes were cute.
Yeah, we did watch the gag reel. Yeah, that was worth watching.
It was
watching.
Mostly Chris Judge being stupid, but it was funny.
Yeah,
most gag reels.
I always enjoy watching Chris Judge be stupid. Right. It's pretty hilarious.
That boy was whiter than my shirt. Aww. All right. And we will be back with more of the show right after this podcast jumps the shark.
I got to rewind this Blu-ray before I put it back.
Be kind, rewind.
Hey, guys, this is Brad. This is where we take a little bit of a break. Remember, Pod Culture is a podcast that's recorded every other week, split into two parts, and then sent down the podcast feed weekly. So tune in again, same time next week, for another geek-filled episode of Pod Culture.
Theme music for Pod Culture provided by the band Beatnik Turtle. Check out the band and their other great music online at beatnikturtle.com.
If you want to reach us here at Pod Culture Central, there are many different ways.
You can email us, feedback@podculture.net.
Call our voicemail line, 812-672-4763. That's 812-672-4POD.
Comment on the website, podculture.com.
Drop us a line, give us a call, or send us an MP3.
Let us know how we're doing and what you'd like to hear on the show. We'd love to hear from you.
Pod Culture, equal opportunity geekness.